So when we all get to heaven, when those of us that believe in Jesus get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. It's like the end goal. And I'm just going to start with this from Hebrews. Therefore, now when it's the therefore, it's because it's just followed, funnily enough, because we're in Hebrews 12, it's just followed Hebrews 11. What's in Hebrews 11? Hebrews 11 is an account of people of faith. Right back, Abraham, Moses, David, loads of them all get mentioned. So they're all the people that are there. And therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, so we're surrounded by them, they're cheering us on, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It's funny when you read that, isn't it? Because a race marked out for you, Dave probably reads that and thinks, oh, yes. And when I think of me going round Tilgate Lake with Park Run, you know, I do it when I can and haven't got an injury, but it's not a joyous occasion at all. I don't have to do it. I do it because I can, and Tina couldn't. That's still why what I think about as I'm running. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So this is, as we're running, we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had to endure. Jesus knew, and enduring doesn't sound particularly pleasant, does it? Let me see your reactions. I can actually remember running, thinking about this, and thinking we like to think that once we accept Jesus, it'll all be okay. And as Caroline reminded us last week, we're actually on a journey, or in a race. And when you think about, Jesus knew who he was. He had no doubt about who he was. He knew that he was the Son of God. But he had to endure. He looked ahead to the glory, and he endured. He had to determine still to go ahead. I think he could have, I mean, we'll never know, will we? Could he have not, you know? But when you read verses like that, he determined to press ahead for the joy set before him. What's that? What's the joy set before him? It's you lot. So Jesus was living and thinking about you and lots of other people, but you. And that's what pushed him through that endurance. We're not very good at pushing through with endurance, are we? We're a bit easier at opting out. And so I was thinking about endurance, and there's what do we have to, or not have to, there's things in life that we can choose to endure with. And I'm just going to, this is not complete, but these are just some things that came to my mind. We can endure to believe in Jesus. Everything around us, almost, well, okay, I'll break that down into two things. The people, the media around us want to tell us that there is no God. And we've got to make a constant choice that, yes, I believe there is a God. Yes, I believe Jesus came. Jesus died for me. And we can know Jesus. We can know that peace. But every day, like a dripping tap, there's things that are trying to take that away from you. I think if you look at creation, creation is crying out, there's a creator behind this. But that's not the sound that we often listen to. Then there's some other things in life. We can decide to endure with relationships. And they're the things that are important. And sometimes it's not that easy. But we can choose, and I'm going to talk through some of our life and things that we've chosen to try to maintain relationships. This week, I had a Christmas present in the form of a phone call. My brother, sadly, has kind of cut himself off from our family. We don't really understand the cause of it. And he rang me out of the blue. 30 minutes. And we talk as if it's just normal. Which is lovely. And he even said, let's meet up. I'm like, whoa, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I can schedule that in. But I've got to keep in my thinking towards, and his name's Kevin, in my thinking to Kevin, I haven't got to start building walls of resistance. Because, you know, we keep inviting him, don't show up. I've got to decide as soon as I just sat down, I was going out again that evening, and I just put my head, we've got these sofas, I've just got an edge, and my phone was there on the charging up, and I was just going to have half an hour, and I looked down, and it says Kevin Cook. And I could very easily have just thought, I've got to recuperate before my next thing. But I leapt up with joy and ran upstairs and had a conversation with Kevin in a piece. But you have to work at it, don't you, with friends and family, with people. People are interesting, aren't they? Yeah. And another thing, as I was running around and thinking about Jesus enduring, I just thought, gosh, you know, we're not very good at enduring. To choose, it's funny when I'm saying I'm running around, you know, to have lifestyles that are healthy. You know, our country has a problem with obesity, and our NHS is going to be struggling away with obesity and unhealthiness. We all use our cars all the time. And that's endurance, that is. That's choosing to make... to make the right choices all the time. So when we're going to, if we want to endure towards some of these goals, and I'm saying this today because there's a new year coming, and if I waited until the new, I'm not a new year, what do you call those things? Resolution. I don't set any New Year's resolutions, but you can at least try and have sort of direction. So that's why I wanted to get in before the new year. And we've got to, you can choose to prioritise how you spend your time. We all have the same amount of time. None of us have more time. You don't think it's okay for them because they've got more time. We actually all have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week for all the weeks of the year. And I would say that for Dave and I, one of our sort of life verses is... Matthew 6:33, it's there somewhere. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom. What does that mean, though? What does seek first the kingdom of God mean? Because, you know, that doesn't really tell you what to do on a Monday or a Tuesday. You know, that's... Seek first the kingdom of God. What did somebody say to me? To get in his presence, yeah. It's all... Yeah, what does he want you to do with your day? Yeah. Yeah. And it's often in the everyday... but within that everyday, we can, it's what we choose to spend our time and effort doing. Have you all seen the example of the pebbles and the big pebbles and the little pebbles? This is representing your life. Okay? The sort of the time that you have, what you can fill your life with. And you can fill your life with big things that matter. That's a big pebble. And sort of medium-sized pebbles, right? I'm not going to tell you exactly what the big things and the little things are. Well, I might tell you, and you can fill your life with little little stones, right? So let's say in this example, little stones are going to be things like, now, it's really interesting when you get to this, because to some people they're big things, and this is, you know, we're all walking our own journey. I'm not going to dictate to you. I'm going to put in some little stones of cleaning the house, okay? Some little stones of worrying too much about our kids getting to and from school. Fortunately, we generally do get them to and from school. But it's all the little things. What other little things are there that we spend way too long worrying about? Shopping. Oh, cooking. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, worrying about what you'll have for lunch. Yeah. Let's do a load of Roo playing on the PS4. He's not here. He's out with Priva. Watching loads of telly. How much telly do we watch? Yeah. What's that daytime stuff? You know. What does it, Ashini, say? Oversleeping. Being on your phone. Yeah. Facebook. Candy Crush. I don't know any others. I've only heard of them. And we can put quite a lot of little stuff in our lives. We'll put that there. You can see it. And if we put too much little stuff, when it comes to putting in the big stuff, or making sure that we get it, don't fit. It's all about priorities. Take it out. I was practicing this morning at the kitchen table with this, and Ed was on the phone. He's like, what on earth is going on in the background? Oh, now he's stuck. You have a go. You take my big stone out. No, no, I need it out. Yeah, you could get the pebbles out. That's it, that's it. You can pour them on there.
Let's try and get the pebbles out. On there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That'd be easier.
How about that? Is that all right?
Yeah, come do.
There you go.
Oh, you've got to get the right big things, haven't you? Yes, sometimes the big things are a hindrance. But if we put our big things in, I mean, I would hope that this is my faith in Jesus Christ, the big one. That's how I would think of it. These might be my kids. And I think our kids are, one's children are very important in your life. Your health, that's me trying to do park run, whatever the smallest one is. Just all the big ones fit. What's more, with a bit of jigging around in life. Ooh. The little stuff can fit as well. I could have taken it one step further. And put sand in as well. And you'll be surprised, you can get another tub like that of sand in. But our sand was wet, so then it got very messy. So in life, what are some of the things that we've done? And I'm not, these are our choices. I'm not dictating these. Some of them won't relate to you at all. But some of the, I'm just trying to say, for us, what seek ye first, the kingdom of God? You can sing it and all that. One of the things that's been great for us is taking our kids to camp. It's the first holiday that we book each year. And we take our kids to camp, and I'll take as many other kids as we can kind of safely accommodate. And many of you know I took my nephews who knew nothing of Jesus. They came along and they caused some trouble. I have no regrets. They heard the message of the love of Jesus year after year after year. And for as many, you know, we got to feed them and kind of look after them. But camp's great. Liz, I can remember when she was, I don't know, 13, 14, brought a school friend along. Nothing to do with, never been to church. They've never been to church, and then they come to camp. I mean, it's great. It's a bit like Dave last year, you know, coming with Dell. They haven't been and experienced this, and then they come and whack. They get full on. And they live in a Christian community, which puts a responsibility on all of us, probably like they've never seen before. It's not a cushy holiday, but they receive teaching that's straight down the line and countercultural. For that friend of Liz's, she said, gosh, I've never heard a different talk on abortion. Never thought about those sanctity of life questions. Just being brought up that you're free to choose, you're free, the woman's choice, the woman's choice. She goes to camp and she was sitting in her tent afterwards and just really thinking things through. It just gives that opportunity. So for us, going to camp is right up there. I used to, when I worked in a bank, we would have to take 2 weeks holiday, two consecutive weeks together, so that if we were doing anything illegal, hopefully it would show up in those 2 weeks. And so we would book camp, and Caroline knows it because she would come on various excursions with us, and then we'd get home from camp on Saturday and go off again on Sunday for the second week, and it would have been more comfortable, you know, not necessarily always to do camp, but we've loved it, and we will continue to love it for as long as it goes, I think, I hope. So we prioritise that. That's how we seek first the kingdom of God. We seek it first for us, and we seek it first for our kids. You never know, when you're raising your kids, they may be, I can remember somebody saying this to me years back, you may be, somebody is raising national leaders, big politicians. They just like Jesus, they all started as babies and were young people and adults. You never know what you may be raising. And when you're raising your kids, they see you all the time. So you're seeking first the kingdom of God is all those things that you do and all the stuff of life. You know, Brittany can tell you that we're not perfect, but it's trying to do those things, showing them, loving God, loving others, and getting that those priorities. Before we had kids, we had one of the tiny houses in Southbrook here in Broadfield. I'd never seen them before. You have terrace houses, you get to the end of the terrace, and you cut it in half again. Like back, it was a corner, the tiny thing. And we spent, it feels like an awfully long time, but it can't have actually been, but a few years opening our home to the kids that were around, and that was Kevin's Tina, about, I don't know, Sydney's or Sammy Joe's age, with her friend Sarah, and they come around for dinner, and then it extended to Gunilla's boys, and they would get up to all sorts of antics. But it's how you choose to spend your free time. I was in the city, he was up and down trees, and we prioritise. not much has changed. Then when we had children, we were blessed. We could afford to, live on one income, and so we didn't bust a gut and get Dave to go to work as well. I had the easy kind of job of going to work, and Dave looked after our three kids, and they all had a whale of a time. But while he was doing that, it enabled him, in his seeking first the kingdom of God, to come to coffee shop to get to know some of you. And Carol and Debbie and all those years ago, running Alpha courses. I said to Dave, what happened to our kids? While you were doing all that, where did the kids go? Because I'm just off in London. I have no idea. And he would tell me about all these people from coffee. And they were I couldn't follow it all. But I know Rachel was quite instrumental, and we'd set up, Sarah Johnson helped us. But it was seeking first the kingdom of God. It would have been very easy to just opt out and say, no, I'm looking after my kids. I can't do it. I can't fit it in. But the most important is loving God, loving others. We were very blessed with my work, and we had some interesting holidays to show our kids a different side of life. And so along with Caroline, we went to the Ukraine, joined all these fit young men on bicycles. I don't know how we got ourselves into this. And went to an orphan's camp. And to our kids, they were just other kids who didn't speak English. They were friends, they just got on like kids get on. And you just see a different side of life. The following year, we went on holiday to Iran and saw missionaries and other Christians. And it gives them, it's all part of that seeking first the kingdom of God. It's part of seeing the global situation, that they live in pretty much comfort. We set our mind on God's kingdom, and we determine to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, the start, the writer and the finisher of our faith. And we're kind of at the beginning, nearly, of a new year. And I want to encourage us not to live life in a reactionary fashion. But if you're thinking, yes, I want to seek first the kingdom of God, have some habits that will help you to seek first. Some of you will know more about it, in a kind of CBT, that behavioural therapy, where people... But it's about... sometimes it's thinking in advance, what will I do if... And I can give you some vague examples without actually saying any names. Sometimes when I come to the Friday meal. There, I know that there will be people that could just wind me up. It wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't take much. It may look like I don't get wound up, but I've determined before I come. And actually, when Debbie and Shell said about putting on a uniform, sometimes it almost helps you. But I've thought in advance. I'm not going to allow them. I'm just going to speak grace, be a blessing, and I've pre-thought it. And that's part of my enduring. There's other things that we can do. We can pray. I tell you, I don't think any of us have quite got to the level of Jesus of getting up in the early hours and going up a mountain alone to pray. I'm thrilled with what seems to be happening in North and South Korea. There have been thousands of South Koreans that have literally, they've got a prayer mountain, that have literally gone up the mountain to pray for peace for that peninsula. But we need to, as I said at the beginning, we've all got the same amount of time. We need to choose to spend time praying. And a lot of us pray constantly on the go, all the time. The things of God are quickly in our head, and you can be watching the news and your heart goes out to what you see, and you can just turn it into a prayer. I come here, I see people here at the centre, and your heart just goes out to people, doesn't it? And you just think, oh, your kingdom come, Lord Jesus, for that person. Your kingdom come. A good habit that we can get into is to give thanks all the time. Just all the time. I tell you what, we had Dave's brother and sister and brother-in-law, Martin and Sheila, lovely to see them. But when they'd gone, oh, you can give thanks for your bed. You know, you wake up in the morning in your own bed, everything's in the right place, and your ensuite is there, and you haven't got to worry about whether you've got your clothes out for the next day because they're in your bed. But we're not very good at giving thanks, are we? We just take it all for granted. So I thought, right, I'm going to put you right on the spot now. Turn to your neighbour and think of five things that you can give thanks for this morning. Five. There you go. You've done it. Do you know, it's one of the real blessings with Carol. Carol walks in on a Sunday morning. You can almost guarantee the first thing she'll do is be thankful for something. She just oozes thankfulness. I hope she oozes some of it towards you too, Tony, because she's lovely to be around. And people that are thankful and grateful are. Have we got there? Working here in the centre, I see a whole variety of people. You know, when I used to work in the bank, you had something common to talk about because it was work. That's what you did. When you're here, you do. It's great with Ian and Kevin sitting here. You do a lot more just passing the time of day with people, because it's just comings and goings, and there's not a something that you're particularly talking about. And there are some people that I've noticed that all they can do is moan. That's it. And if I don't participate in the moaning, the conversation dries up very quickly. And you just kind of, you know, I'll try and bat back with, but we've got, you know, it's good that whatever it is. But they're not interested in trying to speak well of anything. I find it quite noticeable. Because that's the level. You know, for those of you that know me, I don't like the soaps. I know some of you do. but I don't like that drip feed of that. If you can watch it and let that not impact you, then, you know, so be it. But I can't, that constant drip of negativity. Mm. We were talking about it on Tuesday, actually, with Ben. Is that the kind of Ben, the glass half empty or half full? We are glad that Ben is alive. Yes, he's hurt his hand and arm, and it'll be a long time of body recovery, short of a healing. So either Ben can choose to grumble and moan about his arm not being right, or he can go, well, actually, I'm glad there's not more damage. I've still got the use of my limbs, even his fingers still work. His legs, you know, we could have been looking at Ben in a very different situation. And it's a choice that he's taken. Where are we up to? Growing up in your salvation. This is all about growing up in your salvation. And, you know, Caroline had that phrase last week. When Caroline was sharing, I thought, ooh, ooh. So I actually asked her for her notes, because they were so going along the same kind of thought that I was preparing. Our goal, when we're looking ahead, our goal is to have a love for Jesus, who died to make all this possible, and a love for each other. And so these are some of our priorities and the habits that we want to get into. The bit from 1 Peter chapter 3, which I've written out, so hopefully I've got it the same as what you're seeing. Summing up, so this is about our words. Be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you, no exceptions. No retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day filled up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace for all your worth. Good words, aren't they? Somewhere else in Romans it says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. And Christmas time gives us a very good opportunity, just like my brother rang me. I mean, gosh, I can hardly still believe it. Is there someone to whom this Christmas you can extend an arm of peace that maybe you've fallen out with? Or they've just fought, you don't know why, they've fallen out with you. You can send them a text, you can write in a card. I mean, it's such an opportunity, isn't it? Or a grumpy neighbour. Or a work colleague. That's just always that tricky one to get on with. At least a Christmas card, you can just send it, and send it with a real blessing from you. That how they receive it will be how they receive it. But you can at least do your part to live in peace. Another good habit that we can get into, and you know, lots of us don't find reading the Bible always easy. I wanted to show you. So, for me this year, I'm using an app to read the Bible. Do you know, it's really good because you can be in bed all snug. You don't have to turn a light on to read your Bible because it's lit, isn't it? And you can get under your duvet and you can do your Bible. Now, maybe that's really awful, I don't know. But I can honestly say this year that I've enjoyed reading the Bible. that you might think, well, you always enjoy reading that. Well, you know, some of it's quite hard work in the Old Testament. But I'm reading through the Bible with Nikki Gumbel, and I think Dave is doing it too. I think he you can have it Dave's Dell's Dave, because he was telling me. It can read to you. You can do it. It can speak to you. I can't quite keep up with the pace that David Suchet reads it. So let's see whether this works. Now, I do have a confession. I am a little bit behind, which is slightly panicking me because the end of the year is coming. I'm up to 10th of December, right? I've tended to live the whole year a little bit behind, and then I catch up a bit more. And you can't get ahead of yourself, because look, what's today? Today is today the 16th? Yeah. So who is the Lord of your life? That will be. But let's look at one of my... Oh, yeah, I've just started in Revelation. This is going to be fun, isn't it? Do you know, I've read Ezekiel, and I even enjoyed Ezekiel. And in the past, when I've read Ezekiel, I've thought, I have absolutely no idea what I'm reading. But I've tried to read it, but I haven't really got it. And things like Isaiah are just amazing. And so I'm showing you this just so that you get... I don't know why it's blue, but there we go. There we go. So you get a little bit of text about, this is going to be about a film, here you go, which I obviously won't have seen because I don't watch much telly. And then you get a psalm or part of a psalm, okay? And what I would say, this takes about 25 minutes every day to read. I think Caroline started, yeah. It's quite a long time. It's not a quick pickup. But if you could, perhaps for the first year, for next year, you think, well, what I'll do is I'll read through all the Psalms with Nikki Gumbel. Nikki Gumbel is the one that you've been, for those that have been doing the Alpha course. And you just click on there, bang, and up pops the Bible reference, and you read through that, and you go back, and then you read a little bit of commentary, and there's a prayer at the end of... So there's Psalms and Proverbs. Then you get your New Testament reading, and you might think, oh, I could cope with reading a psalm and a New Testament. And that's all that's the Revelation bit. Where are we? And you get to the end, and then his commentary on that, so that you've got a bit of a clue. Perhaps that's why I've enjoyed Ezekiel, because then you get a bit of understanding. And then where do we... Oh, and then we're in Zechariah. In fact, I've noticed he's missed a chapter. Did you notice, Caroline? I haven't found Habakkuk 3. But it may be that it's going to appear later. I don't know. I've got to get to the... Oh, it's so exciting, isn't it? And you'll open up Zechariah, and this will probably be quite a long reading, because the Old Testament readings, you know, that's... and then have his Zechariah... Okay, commentary. And then his wife will just add one little verse and a tiny little piece, and there's a verse of the day. I am the Alpha and Omega. It's a good way. I would, you know, reading your Bible is great. The worst thing with it is you don't know where anything is on the... When you then look in a Bible, of course, you haven't got that memory of where on the page it was. Finding anything back, if you found something a few days ago, finding it again, it is... Oh, it's gone. So it's worth having a Bible as well, so that you can sometimes see where you are. And you can buy that as a book of the Bible, but you don't get the commentary. So when we were on holiday, I had the book, an actual Bible, which I found helpful. And then you can see where you're up to. But it's another habit that's good for us, that helps us seek first the kingdom of God. It helps. Just this morning, even, Gunilla said, oh, in my reading in Isaiah, it was about lifting up your eyes and seeing the King. Something along those lines. And we were saying, eyes higher, eyes higher. Lift your eyes higher. Yeah, that's probably a good description. Yes, it does, but it does work for us. And then if we remember back to what Caroline shared last week, Psalm 139, if we're back on track, another good habit, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Come before Father God and hear what he says about you. And we want him to help us with the things that we're not doing right, but we also want to hear what he says. What he says is, you're mine. You can say, I am a child of God. And you can get up every morning and say, thank you, God, for my bed. Thank you that I am your child. That I can stand tall. That whatever people say or think of me, I'm a child of the King of Kings. And I'm seeking first his kingdom. That's what's going to be in my life. And, you know, I've got friends. You know my friend Debrina, whose parents are been sentenced for years and years for claiming Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. So I know it's not a walk in the park. And, you know, we'll say it. We've had a very good life. We really have. But we still done that life around seek first the kingdom of God. That's the kind of, if any of you, I don't think any of you have been married, well, perhaps Steph and Cheryl, if they went back through their cards, I bet on their card that we gave them on their wedding day. We actually went to Iran on their wedding day, so whether it got as far as a card, but for people that get married, I always put that, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it, of course it starts with a relationship with God, but choose, think about it. Think about, in fact, just talking to Angie today, and she was saying about how she had taken steps in a situation to avoid where there would be conflict. And, you know, we live in a place of conflict, of what people say generally. But think about it in advance. Think, what I'm here to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm gonna, you know, those verses in 1 Peter that we read, bless and be blessed, but bless, keep giving. I could have put a habit of giving financially, but I haven't done anything about that. But keep your eyes focused on Jesus all the time. In all your relationships, in all your family. For my brother, what do I want most? I want him to know Jesus. And for my sister. Their names begin with J and K, and I look out for every number plate that I can see with J and K, and there's loads of them. Don't know why. J and K are really popular in number plates. And every time I can just, I use it to pray. Bless Kevin. May he come back to you. Bless Jenny. I don't know why they've chosen to go away, because they heard the truth as children. But, and for our kids, we'll just keep sowing. Keep those lines of communication open wherever you can. As far as it depends on you, live in peace. Because he's the Prince of Peace, so if we're going to be under him, we want to be living in peace and well-being. Endure. Jesus had to endure. So sometimes it's not easy, but thank God that he's there with us.